So in the scripture for today, in the gospel, we've got a fishing story. Everybody's got a fishing story. Raise your hand if you have fished. Let's see who. Oh my gosh, yeah, you have fished. So Pastor Dave has fished once, and I haven't fished since. It's kind of like I went camping once. I haven't camped since. I go to Embassy Suites. But my fishing story was I was a kid. My dad took the three boys down to a place called Lake Gaston. Anybody know Lake Gaston? And in that lake is, they have this fish that we fish called crappies. Isn't it a horrible name, crappies? But we fish for crappies. And I did not like putting the bait on the hook. I didn't like doing this thing. I could just imagine the hook going into my eyeball. And Dad said, you just have to kind of do this up and down slowly. I didn't have the patience for that. It just wasn't the best experience. I didn't catch anything. My dad and brothers caught something, and then they were going to skin them and gut them, and I just went to the car and just stayed there. But everyone has a fishing story. We have a fishing story today, but it's a fishing story that Jesus tells us that out of it comes an epiphany for Simon Peter. So we're going to hear about Simon today. So it's a fishing story, and it's where we have Jesus is teaching. And I love the way the scripture says, the crowd was pressing against Jesus. There are so many people there. And we've been watching the candidates with their rollouts of their campaigns and all the many people that are there. I mean, thousands. That Kamala Harris, hers, oh my gosh, they were just everywhere. It was that kind of crowd that he had, and they were pressing against him. And here he's on the seashore, and he's thinking, oh my gosh, it's just getting too much for me. I've got to get away from this. And so very close by, he sees these two boats. And he sees that one of these boats as his rescue to get away from this crowd. So he kind of gets into this boat that's very close to the shore. And he introduces himself, and who are you? And I'm Simon. He says, well, welcome, Simon. I'm Jesus. And can I use your boat to preach? And so Jesus preaches. He teaches from this boat to all these people that have crowded along him on the shore. He's done for the day. He thanks Simon for his time, for the use of his boat. And then he says, you know, Simon, you look mighty tired. What's wrong with you? You look so tired. And he says, well, sir, I've been fishing all night long, and the catch has just been horrible. It's so few fish, and what is my wife going to do when I can't bring the money home to take care of our family for the day? It's just bad. And Jesus says, well, you know what? I think if you take this boat out a little further out where the deeper water is, I think there's more fish there, and you might get a better catch. So Simon is in partnership with two other guys, James and John. They have this partnership they have a fishing company. So they decide they'll take their two boats out there. Jesus is with them, and they start to throw their nets out, and they can't believe it, but they bring in net after net after net, hundreds and hundreds of pounds of fish, so much that they're afraid that the boats are going to sink. And Simon is just so ecstatic about it. He says, oh my gosh, Jesus, you are just something else. I'm just the sinner here, but who are you? And then Jesus says, today you have caught fish, but from now on you will catch people. From now on you will catch people. The shallows. I was thinking about, again, when I was a little kid, my dad was a tobacco buyer. They don't have that job anymore. And part of his market was South Carolina, Dillon, South Carolina. Anybody heard of Dillon, South Carolina? It's where Ben Bernanke grew up. That's the claim to fame for Dillon, North Carolina. It's the crossroads to get to Myrtle Beach. You get there, and then you go on Route 9. Takes you right into Myrtle Beach. And so every summer we would rent a little pink colored cottage at what was then Cherry Grove. They call it now North Myrtle Beach. And this would have been in early the 60s, and there would have been one little house here, and there'd be a little house over there, and there'd be a little house way over there, and that was it. Now you go there and those little houses are gone and it's hotels and golf courses and all that kind of thing. But I can remember as a little kid, I didn't like the water very much. I flunked swimming twice. And so I remember as a little kid, when the waves would come up and then they go back out, they would leave these little pools. And in these little pools would be these little minnow kind of fish. And I would just kind of sit there and watch. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And then the tide would come in and take them out. And then the tide would come in again. And this little pool would fill up and have these little fish in it. And I just thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And that's where Simon and James and John are. They're fishing in those little shallow pools for the little minnows, for the little fish. But where were the big fish? Out in the ocean. But you know, that little pool for me was safe. I could touch the ground. I could see to the bottom of the little pool. I could see the little fish. It was safe. If I went further deep into the water, what would happen? I couldn't touch ground. I couldn't see the bottom. It'd be scary. And that's what Jesus is telling us today. As we're called to catch people, Jesus is telling us not to stay in the shallows, but Jesus is telling us to go out in the deep. And that's scary. And it's risky. I was thinking about shallows. You know, we have people visit our church, and we get in touch with them. We want to see if they want to be part of our church. We're glad to have them. It's great. That's fishing in the shallows. We're glad to have those folks, but they come to us. As we're called to fish, we're called to go out to all the millions of people that live around us and fish for Christ. There's been some studies made about how Christians in America feel about inviting persons to come to church. And this is the statistic. The average Christian disciple in America invites someone to church one time in 40 years. One time in 40 years. You know why? Because they expect the pastor to fish. But we all have to fish. These statistics and these people moaning about, oh, their churches are declining. And I want to say, well, what have you done about it? The church I grew up in Petersburg, declining, you know, 20 people, and I called up one of my mother's friends who's still there, and she was telling me about, oh, they're just declining. You know, that church never, when I was there, reached out to their neighborhood. The neighborhood was different. Their neighborhood was a different color. Their neighborhood was a different economic bracket. But they saw no worthiness in fishing in their neighborhood. So I hope that as we here at Doolin Church think about how we can fish. I know a couple of years ago, during the season of Lent, we asked people to pray for someone in their life and then invite them to Easter Sunday. And out of that, we gained 3 disciples here. Doesn't sound like a lot, but some folks did some deep fishing and we got 3 disciples. It's as easy as this. As Ian mentioned Shrove Tuesday, who could turn down an invitation to Shrove Tuesday? Who can turn down pancakes and sausage with all that wonderful grease and lard? Who can turn it down? But we've got to invite them. Hey, our church is having the Shrove Tuesday. It's pancakes and sausage and just grease galore. It's better than fast food McDonald's. Come on with me and we'll have a good time. Bring the kids. We've got games with them. Come and I'll treat you to the meal. You never know how the Spirit will work in someone's life. Say, oh, that's not going to work. That's deceiving. You never know how the Spirit's going to work in someone's life. We've got yoga during Lent coming up on Sunday afternoons at 4:00. Who does yoga? Raise your hand if you've ever done yoga. I passed yoga. I mean, I feel real good about that. Susan Manakai was in here. I said, yes, I passed. Invite someone to yoga. Talk about exercise benefit. It's benefit of the soul, mind, and body. Ash Wednesday. Come get ashed. Ian and I, we're going to go down to East Falls Church Metro on Ash Wednesday. He's going to take one side of that metro station. I'm going to take the other side of that metro station. You come on down there. If you want to get ashed, you can't make it that night, meet us at the metro station. When are we going? 7 a.m.? Something like that?
Rush hour.
Rush hour. That's right. We're going to get the people at rush hour. You're going to see more people ashed around here than you've ever seen. We're going to get television network coverage. It's going to be great. Easter Sunday. Full of people. Invite someone to come Easter Sunday with you. But we've got to make the invitation. We've got to go deeper into the waters. This call of the disciples, Simon, James, and John, started with three people. How many Christians are there in the world today? A billion! Imagine a billion people. And it was from the call of these three, and it moved on and multiplied all around the world. Look at our church today. There's some empty benches here today. It's something for all of us to work on. It's something for all of us that as we take that pole and we fish to bring people to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Why are you here? When we invite somebody, you've got to be able to tell them why you are here and how it has changed your life. We're here to worship God. We're here to worship and love our neighbor. It is here that we find how to live in this world that is so full of hurt and pain. The world out there, the number one cause of frustration in America is loneliness. Right now, there are people huddled in their homes, apartments, lonely because no one is reaching out to them and saying, I love you, I care for you. They're waiting for us. But we're the one who has to act first. So let's do that. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together,